I hope that you begin to believe that music can wash over your soul. Well, it depends on the kind of music that is. Yeah, it certainly depends on the kind of music. And certainly not commercial sound. Or most certainly not commercial sound. But yeah, I hope you get to find that the power in music is specifically transcendent. I think that there is something to music that takes the ordinary and makes something almost divine out of it, if not divinity itself. Welcome, it's Open Thought Tuesday. My name's Joyce. And I was discussing with someone, and he said to me, and that's the very interesting thing with some of the conversations that I have with people. Sometimes, many times they're worth it for me, other times not so much. He said something. He was telling me about someone, and he said, this person is wicked. And so we're trying to analyze psychologically that import. And then he said something that I want to repeat in your hearing. He says, you have to be so weak because it's only... because at the core of wickedness is weakness, because it would require courage to be strong. No, it would require courage to be good. And you want to sit with that moment, and then you realize, well, that's an absolute truth, that somewhere latent inside of the potential of evil is the weakness that compels one to, because they have no strength for the other. Like, say, you don't have the strength to confront something, and so you yield to that something, whatever it be, as long as it's not good. And somewhere latent inside of your evil is weakness, because it takes courage to be good. That's a conversation for the Lords of Logic, but I want to leave it to you, assuming that you would think about it, and then eventually when we have the moment, we would talk about it. And I think I say that to say that there are aspects of our lives that require the courage to either be good, or where we must confront the weakness in us that has a potential for evil. So, for example, this is how Ecclesiastes puts it. Ecclesiastes says that there is evil in folly, so in your foolishness is evil. So there's latent evil in foolishness. So that means the guy was right. I mean, if we are looking for anything that might corroborate that thought, that there is evil in your foolishness. It's like, oh, hold on a second. You can't afford to be foolish. Well, if you think you can get away with it, well, there's something evil about foolishness. And then you wonder whether we even have the courage to admit foolishness. So I've met people who would never apologize for being wrong. It's like, how much of yourself can you admit to yourself? They'll never apologize for being wrong. It's like, well, if I told you you were evil, you would argue it. You'll try to defend your not being evil. But it's particularly evil to know that you have offended someone and choose not to be sorry about it, to apologize, to retreat, to repent of it. There's something evil about it. In a few days to come, probably. I don't think this week, probably next week. But think about it. Because it leaves us with too much work. And maybe the hardest of it would be confronting our own selves. The sun rises here. My name's Joyce. It's Open Thought Tuesday. Well, that's a very good one. very characteristic of the show. Open thoughts. I'm opening the show today with a thought. But now I have to subject the show to your thought. And I want to talk about going overseas. Yeah, this rave that we now have in society where people want to pick their bags and go to another country. Now, there's nothing bad with that. At least we think economically, there isn't anything wrong with that. I want to share with you a letter. Well, it's not a letter. It's a tweet. It's just it's as long as a letter of a Zimbabwean who's in the UK as a teacher. It's a tragic development. But if I don't share it with you, I would probably not be giving you the best of context. So I have to, at least to the best of my ability, quickly run through it. So please, you have to pardon if I'm a little too fast. I'm just really trying to get to the point here. This is a Zimbabwean on Twitter who's in the UK as a teacher. And here he says, and I begin, "Teaching the UK is a horrible experience. It's a taste of hell. I was a teacher in Zimbabwe for over 10 years. I loved my work. I remember assemblies where children would greet us in chorus. I was proud to be a teacher. Our students would salute and greet us on the streets, showing us respect. A misbehaving pupil would hide, show remorse, or be found out. The day I left for the UK, I was excited and convinced that I would make an impact as a teacher in the land of the Queen." He references someone, Luton by name, saying, the person said that teaching in the UK is no walk in the park. "You know, if it wasn't for teaching, I probably wouldn't have traveled as much as I did. It was the teaching that got me around the world. But here in the UK, I got a rude awakening. I got a teaching job at a school which was touted to be one of the best schools. I was grateful, overjoyed. My first day in class, children looked at me as if they were seeing a ghost. One child raised his hand and said to me, 'Are you an idiot?' I was shocked. I was a teacher. I looked at the child and wanted to hit the child, but I had been warned never to touch a child or I would die in prison. I pretended I had not heard the child when I heard another one say, 'Are you deaf?' I was so angry, I walked out to make a complaint to the teacher in charge." I guess that's the head teacher. "As I stepped out, the classroom broke into an uncontrollable laughter. I had never been insulted by a child, let alone a white one. I was so angry, I started shaking. I walked into the teacher in charge's office. He looked at me and said, 'Go and control your class first.' I walked back to the class and everything that followed made me sick to my gut. I just had to leave the classroom as I did not trust myself not to take any typical teacher action against these wayward children. I went home. I got a call from the school which informed me that I had been fired because I had no confidence and skill for dealing with children. I then got another job as a teacher. This time, I was called a supply teacher, which is equivalent to a temporary teacher. The only difference is a supply teacher is a qualified teacher. I arrived at the school this time determined to bring some order. As I walked into the classroom, I saw on the board an offensive statement. It was a question: what's the difference between a monkey and a black man? Just below, it was an answer. At least, a monkey can climb trees. When I asked who wrote that in a very angry voice, the class remained silent. I turned to the board and rubbed off the offensive statement. When I was done and turned to the class, I saw my bag fly out the window. I got angry, shouted at the class. The head teacher and a few other teachers rushed into the class. The pupils all rushed to one corner. Seeing the head teacher, they started screaming. The head teacher in front of the children told me I was intimidating the children and making the learning environment a war zone. I told him they had thrown my bag out the window and had written a racist remark on the board. The head teacher said he could see nothing on the board, and the kids shouted that they had thrown it out because I had tried to hit them with it. I was asked to go home, reflect on my teaching skills. The classroom is controlled by children. You must do what they want you to do." I'm going to end there. I probably will share a little bit more. So there is what is, at face value, victory against poverty. An outlet against what might be an oppressive economic society as Nigeria, where your dreams practically get trampled on. And then, as you know, come February, the UK opens her doors to Nigerian teachers. And so I guess you would believe you're living a dream, and you probably are. But you're going into an environment where the rules apply. And now sometimes you won't even agree with those rules, but they apply. Whether they're gay laws, women laws, your tradition pales. In fact, your tradition goes into the trash. The rules apply. If you are found in violation of these laws, you go to jail. And look, you're a black man. It's one thing to be black. And then God help you. You know, God help you. Huh, God help you. On the World Economic Forum website, they refer to corporal punishment as a violation of the rights of children. So you have to understand that the guys who make the rules have defined corporal punishment. So whether it's you taking your family overseas and you can't instruct your son, you can't discipline your daughter, well, you're in a world where you have to find other means of punishment. And so you're going to miss a part of Nigeria, I think, which is where you are allowed. In fact, it's your responsibility to discipline your child. You have to discipline your child because it's one way that you drive out foolishness from them. But if you think, well, given all the cost it takes to be a Nigerian, going overseas is what's better, then let's talk about this new world you're about to embrace. If you've been following the news, something I find particularly tiring is the laws now around inverted sexuality. It's specifically exhausting. It's now a violation of my own right. Because you see, I don't care what you want to do in your bed. I really don't care. But I care when you impose on me what to say, how to say it. So first of all, every old education is being eradicated. So you give birth to a child. Just by looking at them, you can determine gender. That education is now being trashed. You look at a child, you give them a number. When they are four, they can choose to gender change. And you would be in violation of that child if you hinder that child from changing a gender, if they want to become anything. So they say they want to become pansexual. And you as a father, you're looking at the child like, you know you're going crazy, right? And then the child mentions it in class, and then the class mentions it to head community. And that's it for you, man. That's it. Well, wait, they take the child away from you, first of all. You would have no right over that child. Now, that's the worst case scenario. I guess I'm not even trying to paint you like the worst case picture, but I want us to consider the cultures in these places. And I know many of you are leaving. I probably would soon follow you guys. But if you, I think many of you are going to the advanced world. So it's safe to conclude that you're going to a world where corporal punishment is against the law. So let's talk about your intention to leave Nigeria to go to another world, or you're already there, or maybe you even have aunties whose children or uncles whose children are there, then they come back, and then they have to live with you through the holidays, and you have sworn that you have felt like killing one of them. You can't believe you're not in jail for murder just yet. Let's talk. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Anyone who's about to leave the country has a dream of leaving the country. We've spoken to a lot of you. Many of you want to leave. So I guess, well, let's talk about it. You can't flog your child. I saw a video of an American teacher who got confronted by a black 15-year-old boy. So it's one thing to go through slavery. It's one thing for you to be a teacher and God knows how much you're earning. You have a family to cater to. Maybe life isn't what you dreamed it would be. And then you're trying to be a teacher the best you can. And then you have a 15-year-old rude kid talk to you disrespectfully. And it's interesting because it was a black kid. Now, the teacher really did try to hold it back. And so at some point, he had to throw his hand. So it was a fist fight between a teacher and a 15-year-old boy. And so I went to the comment section and some people were saying, the teacher should not have hit the kid. And then some other people were like, particularly the black men in the comment section, were so glad somebody did their work. But it's like, I also saw people saying, oh, he's going to jail. Oh, he's going to jail. Oh, for sure he's going to jail. Oh, he's going to jail. Jail, jail. I just saw jail, 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 jail. Well, that's America. And then there is the Zimbabwean who's a teacher in the UK who at least has given us insight into what happens in the UK with his story. And Nigerians have at least admitted on radio that they would be taking up the offer from the UK government February. So if you had to go overseas and your children would not be corrected in your traditional sense, what would you do? Welcome to Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
You are listening to Open Thought on the Sunny Side with Joyce. Let's talk.
I have a message already. He says, Joyce, to be honest with you, I've never thought about this aspect that you have raised. And I'm only thinking about it now. And I don't know what I will do. Well, welcome to the show. Exactly. You wouldn't know what to do. Well, think about it. And let's talk. Good afternoon.
Hello, Joyce.
Welcome. It's good to have you.
Yeah, good afternoon.
My name's Joyce, sir. So tell me your name.
This name is Joseph Okobos. I'm sorry. The other line, the line you mentioned is not working.
Oh, is it? Sincere apologies then. So... okay, well, thank you for calling. I do appreciate.
Yes, as my sister. One thing that I have to say is this. We understand all that you're saying. We know about those. We've been to UAE, United Arab Emirates, uh-huh. where the rules are more stringent. Where you are not allowed to associate with any a lady. You are not even permitted to stay with one in the house. It doesn't stop anyone from going there and making money and coming back. What are we even looking at? I was telling someone the other day, please just listen, that I was discussing with a certain man who told me, I went to look for work somewhere. And he looked at me and said, in this position, you've done this outside Nigeria, you have so much experience, and we can't just employ you. And I was asking him why. Other companies that I know would want to take me because of my level of experience and exposure, and because I've done this in a more senior place. At the end, you know what it is? I just looked at it and looked at the salary he was going to pay. And I know that if I was doing this work outside, I would earn more. Your houses would be taken care of. Your electricity would be taken care of. Your transportation would be taken care of. And you will stay in a good environment where you will have peace of mind, Joy. They are not the same, my dear sister.
Yeah, but you see, you're talking about an economic benefit. So what would it cost you to have economic advantage? But your children, I see, it's not. I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen, but you must consider it. You have to.
But you also have to consider that not every children that is in U.S., for instance, that are like that and wayward.
Oh, they hold on a second. Them. Wait. Now, that's exactly where you want to go? Good. Let's go there. Have you met the 15-year... So, let me tell you a story. I was in South Africa. I was in Cape Town. And in my hotel, 50-something American students were backpacking through Africa, right? So, they came in two batches. The first 28 came... then later, 20-something, like 3 days later, 20-something people came. Yeah. And so the owner of the hotel is a British guy. And so when the British guy met me, he kind of just liked me, right? So every morning he'll bring me coffee and we'll just sit down and talk about stuff. Morning routine, all the while I was in that hotel. So one morning he said to me, I have 28 Americans in my living room and they're Facebooking each other. So he had a problem with the fact that they were not talking to each other. Instead, they were Facebooking each other in the same living space. And then he said to me, I really pity your generation. My generation is better. But he pretty much said, like, these kids, like, he's noticed that they're not raised in the traditional sense. Then I think I didn't have much to say until I spoke to them. Every American child... I think they were like between 16 to 19 or 15 to 18. Every American child I spoke to on that trip was vegan. Every single one of them. In fact, I asked, at some point I was like, wait, why are you vegan? Is this fashion statement? Like, is this a fad? And they don't know why they're vegan, but they're vegan. So I'm like, so we're having, I was in the kitchen one time and I was making something. One of them came and was like, hello, Joyce, blah, blah, blah. Oh, you eat meat. And I'm like, yeah, girl, I eat meat. And she's like, oh, no, I don't. I'm like, why? She's like, I'm vegetarian. I'm like, you're the fifth person who's are you all vegetarian? She's like, probably. And I'm like, why are you vegetarian? And she doesn't know. So this vegan thing is just fashion statement.
I do understand that.
Have you heard of the hedonistic culture?
But why is it this America thing? Must it be America?
I don't know where you want to go. I'm just saying that the culture there is not the same back home.
My dear, there are other places who offer better life packages than U.S. I, for once, is not a fan of U.S. at this time.
Okay, so if you were going to go overseas, where would you go?
I would prefer at this time Canada.
Is it Canada where you can flog? You know you can flog your children too in Canada, though.
I know, but okay. That is flogging them. But that is flogging them.
All right.
That is flogging them. But just, please, that's another thing. I don't know how to share it with you because I have experiences. I have things that happened yesterday that I would like to share with you. And it's very, very important. But I don't know how to go about it.
Well, you don't want to talk about it on radio?
If you want me to talk about it...
Okay, go. Is it personal? Is it business? Is it money? Is it politics?
No. There are two experiences that I had. One was on our way to the airport. That was about 5 days ago. I was taking someone to the airport. And then yesterday...
Oh, heaven.
I would even want us to have it already. So we would have... I don't know what my dear parents are telling
me. Can you send me a WhatsApp message? Would you do that? So I can talk to other people if it's no burden, please.
Okay, please, forward to me.
Absolutely. As long as you listen, I'm going to call it out in a moment.
Yes, okay.
Thank you very much for your time. I do appreciate
it. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Lagos, Nigeria. So I'm told that the lines are down. Sincere apologies. So we're going to be using the 01465-7190 number already. People are telling me that this topic I raise is a very serious issue. Well, let's talk about it then. I'm off on a break. We'll be right back. 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name's Joyce. Don't go anywhere. The Sunny Side. My name's Joyce. Welcome to the show. Telephone lines here. Working. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, my Joyce, good afternoon.
Afternoon to you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, my name is Wumi.
Welcome, Wumi.
Yeah, I love this topic you just brought. Very intellectually sound. See, from the context you are discussing it, it's a social anthropological issue. From the context of a social anthropologist, Nigerians are not going to look at this issue from the context you are discussing. They're going to look purely from the economic perspective. Joyce, listen to the first caller. And that's the trajectory the caller should be still very clear. They don't care. Whatever is going to happen, as long as economically benefit them. Nigerian and every Nigerian will stoop low for a British kid. As long as they are making more, they are making pound sterling. Do you understand? The Zimbabwean teacher will not take it because he has values. Nigeria will go, and under any context, they want to go there as long as they are making pound sterling. Even if the kids are spitting at them, you can't reason with them because the average European are not. They are not designed to reason the way we look. Look at the children. Look at the way they were talking that man to that teacher. They cannot be brought under trap because they are not politically speaking, Joyce, designed or raised in that context. That's what whatever they say, the average Nigerian will come and defend the fact that they have to go there and make money. That's what concerns them. Even if it means stooping low and leaving that for those children, the Nigerian who is determined to leave this country will go and do other circumstances. That's my contribution, Joyce.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate you calling in.
Bye-bye. Take care.
The Sunny Side, 99.3 Nigeria Info. And it's as though we have to peel through and dig in to find out whether our desires are not poison in disguise. Off on a break to bring you the update. Don't go anywhere. You're on The Sunny Side. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info. The Sunny Side, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk. Yes, let's do it. I want to quickly define for you hedonism. And except you're not following the culture of Western civilized, first of all, they're actually reported to have no culture. And so I guess what's replaced for culture would be patterns. Yeah, what they would now hold to be traditions from old practices, but not necessarily culture. And then there is this philosophy, hedonism. Well, so according to the Greeks, it's a Greek philosophy that, of course, that has now become a Western mentality. It said that pleasure is something that informs motivation, human motivation. Psychological or motivational hedonism claims that only pleasure or pain motivates us. Ethical or evaluative hedonism claims that only pleasure has worth or value, and only pain or displeasure has disvalue, or the opposite of worth. I subject that to your reading, and I hope you get to find time to read about it. So you look at the American culture specifically, and you realize that these are free people, but it's freedom without the responsibility for their freedom. So these are people who are made free, but subjected to, of course, the control of the 1%. And you don't even have to think too far about it to perceive what might be their culture. If you watch the movies, you tend to see it. And if you've been there, good for you, because you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? There's some things you can't expect from a white kid, and you think it is expedient of a black, particularly an African, not just black, like the Africans. So many of you have, I would say, a good experience. But then there's also something to consider, particularly now that the world has changed. Now more than ever, the world has changed. The rules are not the same. Morality is not what it used to be. You would now embrace new definitions of morality. The truth will now be subjective, and freedom will be what they tell you it is. And it's all for pleasure. So pain is displeasure and represent disvalue. And it's like you must not have lived to refer to pain as a form of disvalue. But welcome to a world of pleasure seeking humans. So, would you go overseas, and have you thought about what might be consequence for that choice? Hello, welcome.
Good afternoon, Sister Joyce.
Afternoon. It's good to have you. Tell me your name. You can go ahead.
Just know me as Elder G.
Okay.
Now, you see, I have never boarded a plane, or I have thought of going abroad sometimes, but I think I started having other thoughts when one day in the philosophy class, our lecturer of philosophy of law stopped us and told us to listen, that we were doing a lecture on jurisprudence, and he told us that we should stop writing and listen to him, that if you go to America and you just so much as had a quarrel with a white girl, you would be lucky to come back to Nigeria with your pair of trousers. From that day on, I began to examine, and that was many years ago, around 1987. So you could imagine what it would look like now. I think that in view of these things, we can fix our own system. Our value system is not that bad. We only need people to regulate certain things, like corporal punishment in schools, for instance. Even my view is that we should bring back the formal education of JS1 to 3, lodge all of them together such that there will be senior prefects at the senior prefect level, at the senior level. Then there will be seniority regulated such that our students will bring back, our authorities will bring back the concepts of the God, the school father and the school mother, so that there could be this care orientation brought back. We only need some regulation of our value system.
Okay, so that's I think I get the import, but are you saying that it's not beneficial to go overseas?
Overseas. Well, if I know where I come from, you know, our cultures, we have more shame than ourselves. I can't tolerate insults. So if you can tolerate insults, well, you go there. One of my colleagues went to London at a time when we were in school. And he wrote back to us to tell us that the first day he got to London, he was called a black bastard. So they only portray what is positive from their own cultures to us.
All right.
And we think that it's all cut and dry. There's a lot of trash. I can't stomach, we all can tolerate insults more than ourselves.
All right. Thank you.
If they can tolerate such trash and such arrogance, a law system is foolproof.
Okay.
I say, as a black man, I'm proud to be a black man. If the system is not working, it means there's something wrong with me also.
All right. Thank you.
Somewhere. Yes.
Thank you very much for calling. I do appreciate.
Thank you, Sister Joyce.
The sunny side. And I'm hoping to speak to parents because now that ball is in your court. I have a caller here. I'm going to have him now. Hello. Welcome. Tell us your name.
Good morning. Good morning, Joyce.
Hello.
My name is Ngozi.
Yeah, welcome, Ngozi. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Michigan.
Okay. So you have
an
idea.
Topic.
Pardon?
Yes. That's quite an interesting topic this morning.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yes. So when I first heard that news about the British government opening the doors for Nigerian teachers to come over, I laughed.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, wow, they are not out of teachers. They want to go to Africa and pull our people to come here and slave because nobody wants to teach their children anymore. One, I work for my research. I did a research in schools in a town called Battle Creek, Michigan. There was a drastic shortage of teachers.
Hold on a second, please. Pardon me. There is an interruption from your end. I'm not sure if it's your television or your girlfriend.
Oh.
Can you tell them to keep quiet, please?
Anyways, so I did that research over there to find out why there was such a shortage of teachers in that district.
Okay.
Only to find out that the schools in that place example of what this guy did, Morgan Freeman, in this movie called Lean on Me.
Oh.
I don't know if you've seen that movie.
No, I
Lean
don't.
Lean on Me.
I don't remember. No.
Morgan Freeman movie.
Okay.
Yeah, if anybody has seen that movie, you will see what the schools look like. That is what the school district looked like, most of the schools here. Now, outside of that, I worked in juvenile detention. A young boy told me several ways he was going to rape my mother.
Oh.
Every time he saw me, he said nasty things to me just because of my skin color and what he's going to do to my mother. But I dare not touch him. I dare not touch him. A lot of people lost their jobs out there because those children, they have the same mindset. It's like they are wired mentally the same way. They cook up a story against you and they go with the flow. And nothing, there's nothing in this world you're going to say that's going to overpower what those kids say.
Oh.
Only for me to also find out here that if you as a parent do as much as buying a cell phone for your child, it's against the law for you, the parent, to go into that phone to check out what your children are doing.
In Michigan?
You cannot. Yeah.
Oh.
You cannot. So tell me how those children are not going to go the way they are.
Oh.
Now, there's a man I met in New Jersey. He had tribal marks. It's a very funny story. And he was a substitute teacher. So at some point, I met him in church. I said, Baba, how is work? He said, it doesn't work there anymore. That he doesn't want to kill somebody's child. That those children keep calling him Escape from the Tiger. That they keep drawing cats, drawing his tribal marks, calling him all sorts of names. So I felt so sad for this Baba. But he was telling the truth. You cannot touch any of those children because they are sacred. And at the end of the day, that's the pipeline that was designed by the government to feed their prison system. Because once those children, as bad as they are, they know they're going to end up on the streets and they're going to be filling up their prisons.
Oh, wait, to go right back. Hold on a second. Wait. The society is designed that way so that the people end up on the streets and feed the prisons.
Exactly, because the prison, they call it non-profit, but some group of people here in the United States are
making
money from
investment.
Prison system.
Yeah, I know it's private.
Yes, they are making tons of money from it. That's why you have a lot of African Americans, Latinos, Hispanics
in prison.
Killed in the prisons. Yes,
oh.
So it's a deliberate design. So So you say the system, the country here is free. There is no freedom here. It only takes one mistake and you're in that prison.
Thank you very much.
So people who are going out there to put corporate punishment or anything, it should be guaranteed that, yeah, they're not going to win that battle. They might end up locked up somewhere.
Thank you very much for calling. I do appreciate it. According to the World Economic Forum, corporal or physical punishment is highly prevalent globally, both in homes and schools. Around 60% of children 2 to 14 years regularly suffer physical punishment by their parents or caregivers. Evidence shows that corporal punishment increases children's behavioral problems over time and has no positive outcomes. All corporal punishments, however mild or light, carries an inbuilt risk of escalation. Studies suggest that parents who use corporal punishment are a heightened risk, are at heightened risk of perpetrating severe maltreatment. Corporal punishment is linked to a range of negative outcomes for children across countries and cultures, including mental ill health, impaired cognitive and socio-emotional development, poor educational outcomes, increased aggression, and perpetration of violence. I can't believe this. Oh, but yeah, it's on the World Economic Forum page. I'm practically reading off of their website. Corporal punishment is linked to a range of negative outcomes for children across the countries and cultures, including mental ill health, impaired cognitive and socio-emotional development, poor educational outcomes, increased aggression, and perpetration of violence. Not the systems, but when a father corrects his child, then the child is, let me read the next one. Corporal punishment is a violation of children's right to respect for physical integrity and human dignity, health development, education, and freedom. Of course, freedom from torture and other cruel, inhumane, or degrading treatment or punishment. Corporal punishment is a violation of the child's right. Elimination of violence against children is called for in several targets for the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. Welcome to 99.3 Nigeria Info. You're on the sunny side. My name's Joyce. That one don't work. 01465-7190. I think it's necessary that I remind you that we can use WhatsApp as well. I do promise to read your messages on WhatsApp. The number is 08095975805. 08095975805. My name's Joyce. Welcome to Nigeria Info. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Afternoon to you. Thank you very much for calling. Turn off the volume of your radio set.
Hello, it's your James.
Okay, who am I speaking with? Who am I speaking with, please? What's your name?
This is Lucky.
Welcome. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yes, Auntie Joyce. I would want, because I understand that there is no way you condemn the system by being in the system. If you want to talk about, I want to refer to what the last caller said. When he read the news, he laughed. But I want to ask, why is he still in Michigan?
Okay.
If the system doesn't work, why are people who came back from outside, from US and other places, always rushing back after coming back? Why is it that they don't stay back? If the system is not working, if this place is better than the system they are under, it's because that is not the truth. That is not the truth. The philosopher that spoke to that man wasn't telling him the truth. And when you want to address this situation, you have to ask people who have the experience, who have been there. Not people, when somebody who has not been there may not really understand. We need to hear from people who have been there. Why are they building houses in Nigeria?
Hold on, you're confusing me. What's your point? Are you saying that the system works or you're saying it doesn't work?
Yes, everywhere there's that problem of racism. Everywhere. Even in Nigeria, we have it.
We're not talking racism. We're talking about what is in the shadows. We're talking about what is in the shadows.
It was as a result of racism that those children wrote
what they wrote on the board.
Okay.
When they wrote, what is the difference between a monkey? That was an act of racism.
Okay.
So when they didn't, when they threw the bag away, it was an act of racism.
So are you saying that's okay? Are you saying the teacher should tolerate abuse?
What I'm saying is that, are we basing this issue only on the teacher aspect? Like,
look, I think you're missing the point. This is something worth considering. I'm asking you to consider it. I have no qualms if you want to pack your kids and go to America. I'm asking you to consider something and tell me your thought. If you think America is the land of the free, the home of the brave, absolutely. Like, I'm just asking you to think about the possibility of this particular outcome.
But there is a choice. I listen to
No, stop, wait. Tell me what you believe. Do you think America is your land for you? It's okay, just give me that. I don't have to sit through your doubts.
What I believe is that traveling, not possibly America, traveling and making travel, and you can actually have a better life traveling. I have people who are there.
Okay, I think you're repeating yourself. Pardon me, you called earlier on, you spoke about the better life, and I'm asking you to consider your children's education, what the system can do to your child mentally. But you are failing at that because your only benefit is economic advantage. And I have to speak to other... I'm sorry, no, I have to speak to other people. You're repeating yourself. You have nothing new to tell me.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
What if you leave your children in Nigeria? And you travel and make money and send to them. What happens to that?
I'm not your wife. Like, you're asking me questions that you should be asking your wife. Like, is that what you want to do? Nigeria Info. The Sunny Side, welcome to the show. Make it back. Hello, how are you?
Yeah,
hi, good afternoon. It's good to have you here. Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, this is Justice from Sundari.
Good, thank you. Go ahead.
The last one made me laugh because you're asking someone that is in America why they're not coming back. Even that you're here, you know, going to America. It's still the same thing. So, talking about what happened, I mean, the video, the teacher, I mean, the culture issue, I have been following you. Even I follow your post on Instagram, and I've been watching the news. I've been listening to what is happening. It's not just the teachers. Do you know that there's this doctor that refused to perform this surgery, this gender change surgery, on one patient, and sued the doctor, and the doctor got penalized for it. So it's not just in one sector, you understand, it's everywhere. I have thought about traveling before. Hello?
Go ahead real quick. Go ahead.
Okay. I have thought about traveling before, but I'm the kind of person that believes in African culture and our values, you know. I wouldn't want somebody to tell me that, this black that I'm looking at is white, and I have to just believe it because the person that is black feel like being black, so I have to believe that it's black. I have to compromise what I'm seeing and believe what you feel at my own detriment. So, man, it's worth considering. It's really, really worth considering. Because you look at the education system in America, for instance, what are they even teaching them in class? Go deep and look at what they are teaching them currently now, their curriculum. You look at, it's so sexualized. You understand? The other day I was reading, I saw a book.
I don't think the education is sexualized. I think it's the non-verbalized aspect of information that is sexualized.
You are correct. So I saw a children's book.
No, wait, see, would you go? I want to know if you will go, because I think you're thinking about this thing. I want the answer to the question.
Okay.
Yeah.
It depends on the sector I'm working on.
Uh-huh.
It depends on the sector I'm going to work with. Maybe if I'm into tech,
mm-hmm.
I might go and come. Since it's remote, I can go and come back. But if it involves training my children, if I must train my children outside Nigeria,
mm-hmm.
I'll probably go to Japan. you know.
Okay.
Yeah, see, yeah, because the other day I saw a video of a Japanese American, you know, he's a Japanese, but he grew up in America. He has this YouTube video. He was trying to tell Japanese children that, oh, because there's this culture in Japan whereby as a child, you must carry your own bag, your backpack. You must carry it yourself. You know, all those trainings that you have to give to the child. So he was telling them that, oh, this thing can cause medical issues, can health issues to the child. You shouldn't be doing it. I was just thinking to me myself.
Thank you. We have to let other people speak. Welcome to the show, The Sunny Side. I think many of you haven't thought about this until now. Hello. You're Nigeria Info. Can you hear me? I think a lot of you have not thought about this until now. And so the reaction I am getting is particularly interesting. I want to tell you about Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson is probably the most watched psychologist in the 21st century. Probably, I would say, unmatched. His thoughts are a tour de force. I think he is particularly compelling. Jordan Peterson is in the news. And by the way, I'll ask that you Google him. Jordan Peterson has an issue with this enforcement. He's Canadian. He has a problem with the enforcement of the Canadian government on legislating language where you are asked to say, and it's practically just straight people versus not so straight people anymore. So there's been this back and forth between Jordan and the Canadian government around what they think he should say about inverted sexual people. This is a white Canadian. He is now being threatened with what might be called a retrieval of his license if he does not submit to social media re-education. A psychologist is threatened that he would lose his license to practice if he does not subject himself to re-education. Hold on, social media re-education. You've had nightmares. You've not had this one. We'll be right back. The Sunny Side, Nigeria Info. It's Open Thought Tuesday. 01465-71900. I want to quickly go to WhatsApp. I have a message here. Hi, Joyce. Teachers going over there to teach all need a lot of emotional intelligence, if not jail. There are movies that have addressed issues like for people to watch. The caller from Michigan said, Morgan Freeman's Lean on Me, Stand and Deliver, We Are Marshall, etc. What's the movie about? Like, what are you saying that... I think there's something about your point that's inconclusive. I'm not sure. Are you saying that people should go, people should not go? Remember that I'm trying to figure out what your thoughts are. It would appear, obviously, that this is an aspect of your going overseas that you haven't quite thought about. Now more than ever, because the rules now have changed. She's American, and so I met her in Cape Town. This was probably Cape Town, maybe like 7 years ago or 6 years ago. And she told me she was raised Jewish. And I said, oh, okay. And then we got talking about something. And I say, so now what do you believe? And she says, I believe nothing. I'm like, oh, wait, but you told me like 5 minutes ago that you were raised Jewish. And she says, well, my parents were raised Jewish and they used to go to church, but we don't anymore. And I said, okay, why? Like, what's the development? So if you don't, it's because of something, right? So is it a lack of faith? Is it culture? Is it social influence? And she's like, we don't believe in God. Like, it's more like it's in the air type of thing. You see, I don't care if you believe or you don't, but I'm thinking maybe you've thought it through and then you have thought, okay, this is why I don't believe. No, it's just more... The air we are breathing is telling us that this air is coming from a generator. It's not God-given, you know. It's like, so there isn't thought. There isn't depth. It's just, what are we doing? Okay. Yeah, let's go. It's like, what in hell's name is this? All right, so I've told you the root of it is hedonism. It's a pagan philosophy, actually, in Jewish history. So you can check it out. And it's then your movies. It's everywhere now. So some laws are coming to play. A Texas dad, loses bid to stop his son's decision to transgender. And the son is 7 years old. and a Texas jury ruled against the father seeking to intervene in the gender transition of his 7-year-old son. It's happening in Australia. It's happening in America. It's happening in first world nations, boy. So, and you see, you might say it's not going to happen to you. You might just have a point. So imagine your kid goes out there and mingles, right? And Joshua, who's your children are going to school with children who are raised by same-sex parents. Not that there's a problem with that, but there is an influence from that. So I don't know whether you like the influence. So your daughter is going to come back and her best friend in class is being raised by two moms. And then she's going to fancy the idea of being lesbian. And she's going to talk about it in class. By the way, gender pronouns are being taught in schools now. So your child is not going to learn boy and girl, male or female. No, your child is going to learn bisexual, transsexual, sexual, cisgender, male, cisgender, female, sexual. So, like, it's from here to hell. But you won the free world. And I'm not stopping you. I'm only asking if you've thought about it. Welcome to Open Thought Tuesday on Nigeria Info. Let's talk. Welcome to the show.
Joyce.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have to make this point.
No, I'm sorry. We have to let other people call. Please be fair. Please let other people call. I beg you.
Okay, Joyce.
Thank
you. No problem.
Thank you. I appreciate. I have a message here. Jojo from Ikorodu. My kids watch cartoons a lot. I flogged my 6-year-old son out of pain from flogging him. He whispered to his 8-year-old brother, if we were in America, I would report mom to the cops. Oh, he said that? I was shocked. Really? If we were in America, I would have reported mom to the corpse. I was shocked. You were. Well, thank you for your message. Welcome. 99.3 Nigeria Info. You're on the Sony side. Hello. Welcome. What's your name?
Well, hello, Joyce.
Good to have you. Thank you very much for calling. You tell us your name, you go ahead.
Yeah, my dear Lua, I am not, because I'm not even thinking about it. Like, the only thing that will carry me out of this country right now is if God sends me on a mission work as a missionary. That's about it. But
why?
Here,
why?
This is my birthright. This is where God made me. I'm staying here because I've read too much into this, and for me, I mean, what is your price tag anyway, where you would subject yourself to anything for money? You understand? So for me, I think that, I mean, some, they are desperate, and I understand that, but some that are bent on going, there is nothing you can tell them. They will actually accuse you of wanting you to stay here and suffer with them, or accuse those over there that they don't want them to go. But you know what? If you want to go, just go. So we know the ones that are left here. Newsflash, though, once you go, there are Black Americans or Black, not Blacks in the diaspora generally, who want to come here. Do you understand? They want to come to Africa. You know, because at the end of the day, they are birthrights, really.
Now, let's not talk about birthrights. Let's talk about this raising of children, because I think there's the economic benefit. Nobody wants to come here and sit in a country with you without electricity for 24 hours. I think they're probably going to risk America.
You think?
Well, no, they're not coming. McMill wants to go to Ghana.
That depends on your experience over there.
So you're not going to go. You're not going to raise your children in a first world nation.
First world, what does that even mean again? Who sat down and made that decision that it was first world? Police, give me a break. What makes it a first world? If that's what they want to believe, I'm not going to argue that with them, but they don't have something that I crave for, really. I mean,
okay.
Especially with all their...
You're not raising your kids overseas. You're not raising your kids overseas. Thank you.
Like, I wouldn't subject myself to whatever it is they have going on out there. Like,
all right.
Seeing it on the media is bad enough. I don't want to be part of that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm so sorry. Your line is so bad, but thank you. I kind of got the gist of your contribution. I have a message here. So I gained admission and scholarship into Michigan last year. The school sent me an email to request for my I-20 form. Until date, I haven't requested for it so I can proceed to the embassy. I haven't requested for it because a part of me feels it's short-time gain for me alone and long time loss for my family. I feel their moral bank is empty and I'm really reconsidering it. I followed a YouTube page, Paternity Court, and I see 30-year-old guys that are grandfathers already. Let's not even go to the LGBTQETC part. Oh, I like the way you put that one. Okay. Well, thank you. So what? You're not going to take your scholarship in Michigan? You sure about that? Well, he says it's short-term gain, long-term loss. Oh, well, if you feel so. Thank you for your message, the Sunny Side. Welcome.
Hello, good afternoon.
Afternoon to you. Thank you very much for calling. Yeah, go ahead. Can you hear me? Nigeria Info, you're on the Sunny Side. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. Turn up the volume of your radio set.
Okay, sorry. Good afternoon,
Joy. Well, tell us your name. Go ahead.
This is Joy calling.
Okay.
This, me, I don't like going to that place, Shao. But how many parents are disciplining their children now the way our mother disciplined us? Don't you know it's like those things is creeping into our own country now?
Mm.
That a teacher cannot beat the students in their school. Like one school, I will not mention is the name of the school. The teacher discipline the student, their boys. You know, they end up killing that teacher. Removing his head from his body. So our own country now is not like before, Joyce. Me, I will not go outside the country to go and train my children.
Okay.
Even though the money is so surplus because of what is going on there. But our own side now, we don't want to talk to our children also. Those things will creep in later. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. I do appreciate it. I have a message here. He says, I prefer being a slave teaching in the UK than being a frustrated Nigerian citizen. As long as I'm being paid assets when due, then I will accept every form of insult that come my way as part of my job. I'm a teacher who teaches JSS 3, SS 1 and SS 2 in a private school at Akute Mathematics, and my pay is 25k. My transportation and feeding fee a month is 15,000. So please tell me why I should stay back and deceive myself. So you should know now, I'm a graduate of civil engineering and fed up with everything I've gone through in Nigeria looking for a job. Let me shock you. I was owed November and December last year. Murphy from Akute, thank you very much for your message. And I hope you didn't miss the part of the conversation where I shared with you the experience of a Zimbabwean who's a teacher in the UK. And many people have asked, what's with this seduction coming from the UK to Nigerian teachers? So, I mean, if you know anything about trying to get, you know, permanent residence overseas, it's like, it's bone. It's like good, hard bone. But of all the offers that have come from overseas to Nigeria, this is particularly seductive. Like, this is, I want to lay with you in bed and my clothes are already off type seduction. Like, this is so good. You would need a whole lot of courage to say no. You would need God to say no. So I think there's a good part to it. But I thought to highlight what might be obvious. That the rules are changing, the laws are changing, and life as you know it has changed. And so, whether you're ready for what might be a new world, is all we're going to have to do is talk about it. So we have a message here from a teacher right now who says that he'll rather be a slave teaching in the UK than a frustrated Nigerian. It's like, ooh, okay. All right, meaning that he doesn't mind being insulted by the students. He doesn't mind being well, I don't know if they're going to touch you, but they're going to particularly insult you, and then you're going to take it and then tell them it's okay. And you're probably going to get married and raise your children in that environment. And I think if you take it from the class, you're going to also give it or take it at home. Worth thinking about. Let's talk on Nigeria Info. You're on the Sunny Side. I have a caller here. Let's find out who he is and where he's calling from. Hello, welcome to the show. What's your name?
Hey, Joyce. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Sugar Daddy, Canada. I would say that the topic today is quite dicey.
Oh.
And I would say, comparing the Western world, I would say, okay, Canada is a little bit... I won't say they don't take it as serious as the rest of the country, but if there is one thing I noticed about the whole this topic, I would say they try as much as possible to undermine, or will I say push back against our culture or our ways of doing things.
What country are you calling from? What country are you calling from?
Ontario, Canada.
So basically, you're telling us what you experience in Canada, then.
Yes, right now I don't have kids, but from what I've heard from those of us, because I attend a Nigerian church here, so I meet other married couples with kids, and let's just say at the end of the day, basically they mostly just remind the kids where they're coming from, and also remind them that if they ask funny questions, that they should ignore funny questions, or don't respond to funny questions being asked by their teachers. And now, I am basically working on a plan. My wife had to sit me down. We're working on a plan to counter whatever might come in the future. That way we raise the kid properly rather than having the system. Because I would admit the Western world is failing, and they keep failing. Hence the reason why they can't, especially the Western one that speaks English. That's why these days they are practically trying to scavenge for resources human resources from English speaking nations. My sister-in-law is based in the UK, and she went through this same process. When I mean she went, as in her kid was taken away from her. And it's obvious that they don't do this to British citizens or those that are originate from that side, but they target the minorities, like those from Nigeria or other African countries or India or China. And it seems they are hell-bent on, taking the kids away from their parents in order to brainwash them into their own norms and beliefs. And my own case, normal chores that the girl was asked to do, I think along the line she got tired, and maybe one of those days the teachers usually ask them, how are you doing, how is home, what, I hope they're not beating you. And one of those days the girl let it slip, and child services was invited. They brought their case to the parents, and they took the kid away. When the kid, and the kid is what? The kid should be somewhere, I think, 8, 9, 10. So at the end of the day.
Pardon me, we're talking about your sister. Pardon me, I'm just trying to follow up.
Yeah.
So we're talking about your sister's child.
No, my sister-in-law, wife's elder sister.
Okay, so she would beat her child to correct the child, right? And then the teacher would try to interrogate the child at school.
Yeah. And usually she doesn't even beat her. It's usually maybe when she's being asked to do a chore.
As usual,
there's no chore. Every child would want to sit down and do nothing.
Yeah.
But you say, no, you're a girl. I want you to learn how to do this.
Yeah.
Come stay with me in the kitchen. Normal stuff. So it's not like, okay, those deranged Nigerians that would, for every minute, everything that they do, they want to raise the kid. No, she's just like everyday normal Nigerian parents that would correct the child. And it's when maybe it's a repeat occurrence of when they've told you over and over, that's when she even uses the rod.
Okay.
To cut the long story short, they realize, okay, the girl was just exaggerating, and as usual, being a child. And rather than them owning up to the mistake that they've made, that, okay, it's an oversight on our side, no, they were still trying to force the child to say, repeat what she said before. basically, at the end of the day, they had to return the child. That it was after several months of back and forth, they intentionally want to hold the child longer. Luckily for them, the child was homesick and kept crying that no, they needed their more parents, and they refused to cooperate with the process. Right now, I would say the child is even better off because she's now well behaved, knowing fully well that okay, what she saw on the other end, she doesn't want to go wants to go back there.
Pardon me.
Personally, I feel
You conclude your thought. How many months was your sister's daughter away from her mother?
I think about 8 months.
You're lying.
I am serious. It's no joke. Hence the reason why I'm like, I think I will even suggest what the other guy said. Maybe just the man should be here, but I won't want to separate the family. But if you're coming here, ensure that, okay, your kids are well grounded. I think those that actually had their kid in Nigeria before leaving, because I left Nigeria 5 years ago, and most of us come like that. It's either we're coming as a student and transition to residence and citizen, or we're coming as skilled workers like myself, then we transition to a citizen. Those of us that had kids and maybe are married and had kids before coming, they currently have the upper hand, because they've seen the way those kids are quite secretive, and they are like, well, I say they are a little bit smarter when it comes to reading the body language or reading the room.
Yeah.
But for those of us having kids here that are planning to have kids here, I think we also have our work cut out. We are having, when my wife asks us to sit down and have a discussion, I know she's serious about it, and we're putting things in writing and we're working on a plan.
Okay.
In order to ensure that, okay, our own kids don't fall in that category. It's really, what I mean, it's really, really, really serious. I watch lots of UK, because I schooled in the UK, I still watch lots of UK shows, and let's just say their kids are not in home to write about. You go through school or not go through school. A huge chunk of them depend on the system, and they need people to come in and work. Rather than correct their own system, they will try to force their system, their own system down the throat. And obviously, when you look at the Indians and Chinese, that system doesn't work on them.
Yeah.
They are quite resistant. And I would hope that we as Nigerians would also imbibe that system, resistance also, rather than trying to fall in place in a country like this.
Look, thank you so much for calling in. I really do appreciate the insights you have shared with us. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye. Lagos, Nigeria, losing your kid for 8 months. Oh, wow. I met a British guy. He said to me that one thing that he loves about Africans is our sense of community. And he told me that the difference between Africa and the UK is that he says once you're born in the UK, this is a white British man, he says you're a child of the state, that the government caters to you from cradle to the grave. As a white person, at least he was giving me his white person's perspective, like from cradle to the grave. And he's like, you pretty much build this sense of non-family from a very, very early stage. You have a sense of non-community. And so maybe the Nigerians who've been in the UK who complain about isolation or boredom probably have a point, because at least I heard this from a British citizen. And so think about it for a moment. What could really... Oh, by the way, the teachers interrogate the children to get the gist. So somehow, I don't know, if the stars are not in your favor, the teacher could know, and then they'll come and take your child away from here. 01465-7190 Nigeria info. And I have a message here. Good afternoon. I just want to thank you for the good work you're doing on Nigeria info. You've helped my life in many ways. God will keep you for us in Jesus' name. Michael from Victoria Island. Thank you, Michael. But have you thought about it? So I think that you think that it's a phenomenal idea and you have a point, but they're concerned. That's what's different from how you were raised. And I don't know whether you know that some things don't apply. All right, let's find out. Hello, Joyce. Hi, how are you doing? I must admit, I didn't think about it. And I'm really one of those people who would like to leave Nigeria and have a family overseas. I guess that the problem here is us. What does that mean? What do you mean us? Okay, let me read this one. My name is Godwin. This topic you are discussing today is very important. I've heard people talk about the lack of proper upbringing and values instilled in children in many Western countries, but it's worse in the US. Personally, I must confess that it's quite different from what I experienced during my time in Russia, and even when I lived in Turkey for a while, the children there were a lot more respectful, less provocative and inquisitive because they genuinely want to know more about Africa, not to mock or abuse you racially. You are mentioning countries that have culture. The Sunny Side, Open Thought Tuesday on Nigeria Info. Hello, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Joyce. Welcome. My name is Shea.
Your name is?
Shea.
Okay, so Shea, I really wanted to hear your opinion, so that's why I picked your call. But I have to be off on a break, so would you...
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
So would you hold on or call me back?
I will try.
You're darling. Thank you very much. Lagos, Nigeria, we're off on a break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Think about it. And then let me know if you still think it's far more worth the benefit to go or any other considerations. Like, just think about it. Would you go and have your family there, or would you stay and make Nigeria great? And in the words of Trump, Nigeria first. It's Open Thought Tuesday, and I was hoping that your contribution to the conversation would reveal how far your thinking might have extended towards what might be the good side and bad side to picking your bags and leaving Nigeria. I guess maybe the good outweighs the bad if your choice is to leave. But then let's find out whether you're actually persuaded by that singular fact. We're due for the headlines in about a few seconds, and I would love to share with you some additional message from the teacher, the Zimbabwean teacher, who pretty much put out his experience on Twitter. And I'm not even sure why he did it, but I'm grateful that he did, because it doesn't say don't come. It says brace yourself for a very horrid experience. It doesn't say do not pursue your dream of being a teacher. He says come expecting the absolute worst. In fact, he said that there was a time he was accused of sexual assault because he touched a child, and he was told that every form of touch is an assault. I hope you're ready for this. Good, I hope you're ready. The Sunny Side, Nigeria Info. My name's Joyce. Don't go anywhere. Okay, so I think I lost you, lady. Please, if you would, call me back. Welcome to the show. I'm just about to go to WhatsApp to read a message, and I'd like to share some additional information from the Zimbabwean. I have the particular tweet thread retweeted on my Twitter page, so you might want to read it. And I think it might upset you a little bit. Upset your dreams, I would think. But then I think it's better now than ever. If you're a gold digger, I mean, you're digging for gold. Chances are you should also have the courage to confront the possibility that you might dig up stones. And maybe it's courage to determine what you believe is best for you. All right, I have a message here. Joyce, despite all this discipline among the young students in the Western world, guess what? Oh, you mean indiscipline? They still come out well-educated, well-knowledgeable, and more advanced in major aspects of life. Hold on, take that statement apart. Let me ask you, are you sure that they come out more advantageous in aspects of life? Or is it your purview, your perspective, that assumes that they come out more advantageous? So, you know, you are programmed. You are programmed to believe something. So maybe your defeat is that you are already going to assume that they come out more advantageous. That, or you have interrogated this statement to be sure that despite their indiscipline, they still come out better. You see it now. So that's like two different things. But think about it. All right. So I want to go back to the gentleman from Zimbabwe, who pretty much speaks so passionately about teaching. He says, the head teacher takes the word of the child against yours. Now I'm working towards extracting myself from a career I was passionate about. And I ask myself, why? Okay, so he goes further to say, one day I was called to the headmaster's office. I was informed that a child had complained that I speak so loud, that the child is now having sleepless nights. I was asked to lower my voice or be sued if the child went deaf. I'm not a loud speaker. I was shocked. I could not answer. Then one day I was accused of sexual abuse. I was alleged to have touched a girl child on the shoulder. I was told any form of touching was abuse. I was suspended. After 3 months of no pay, I was reinstated. I now hate teaching with a passion. I was reprimanded for calling a child my son. When I came to school the following day, there was a fuming parent who said to me, hey, my son has a father at... Oh, hold on. My son has a father at school now? I said I didn't know about that. And then she accused me of calling him my son. So I guess he even said my son and didn't even know he said it because he didn't mean anything. And so when he was asked about it, he was like, I don't know that. And then the child accuses him. That's the problem. It's like you probably do that in an endearing manner. And the child runs off home and tells his white dad, the teacher called me my son. And the father shows up at school and is like, oh, my son has a father in school now. It's like, where's your sense of humor? Now, this thread is very sad. He says, I was numb. She went on to the head and I was to the head teacher and I was seriously admonished. The culture here is strange. There is nothing like stopping students from throwing chairs at each other. The school here has a complete opposite of the school back home. Teaching is a nightmare here. It is the most stressful job in the UK. All right. End thread. So there are some other aspects I didn't quite share with you because I didn't think it was relevant. So I guess you are thinking about it. All right, 01465-7190. And of course, I'm reading your messages off of WhatsApp as well. Let me read this one. Concerning corporal punishment, I don't believe in it. If my son disobeys, I'd rather ground him, take the remote from him, take the TV away, and that's me. Okay, like what do you guys call it? Naughty corner. Oh, okay. This is Hamid. He says, I've never been an advocate of relocating outside Nigeria because, damn, when you have money, Nigeria is sweet as candy. What it takes for you to settle down over there, it's not just a joke. The far I can go is just a little vacation, then I come back home. Nothing more, nothing less. All right. So have you thought about it? I also want to know that you've thought about the idea of the culture difference. And the fact that the laws are instituted. So it's not like you're going to do it and get away with it. Because that child is going to speak. And then they're going to reprimand you. Suspend you. And I don't know why I think your name is on a jail list somewhere. God help you. Because, you know, I know you. The Sunny Side. Welcome.
Hello, Joyce.
Afternoon.
Yeah, my name is Ngozi.
Welcome, Ngozi. It's good to have you here.
Yeah, thank you, Joyce. For me, I don't really have issues relocating.
Okay.
But the truth remains. I think sometimes people, when they relocate, are usually carried away by the system. And they tend to forget where they are from. I'm saying this because before you move, you should be aware and conversant of the culture you are going to meet. Usually me, I'm not an advocate, maybe for little kids, maybe probably say age 5 down, that's relocating with them. It's quite difficult, that's controlling them and imbibing this Nigerian culture in them. I had a friend that relocated years back to the UK. What she did, the two kids are now in secondary school. Last year, she brought them back and put them in a boarding school here. When I asked her, why are you bringing these kids back? She said she wanted them to, because they actually left at a very young age. She said she wanted to integrate them into the Nigerian system and culture. Then they can now go back for their university. By then, they are already used to this two system and they can easily choose between what is right and wrong. And I actually applauded her for that because she lives there, she knows what she pays, and she understands the psychology of her own children. So most of our people, once they relocate, probably pursuing money, and they tend to like leave these children on their own, believing the system is all good. So it all depends on what you want as a parent. I've had nieces and cousins that were born and brought up over there, and they are quite even much better than those that are trained here. So it all depends on the parents and what you want as a parent for your child. Then you start on time and do that, and the children will come out well. If you know your kids are beginning to like tend to behave like the other culture, then after a while, bring them back home here. I had a couple of friends in secondary school that came back from the States then. They did their secondary school here. Then they went back for university. So you can't compare such a child now because they have actually weighed the two cultures and they actually know better. So these are just some of the issues. But for me, it's worth doing for kids because this environment, I was just discussing with somebody a while ago, mentally, it's draining. It makes kids feel like this, the world is like hell. There's no orderliness. So sometimes it's also good to expose children to other parts of life. Let them balance things and know that life is not this place that there is no light for 24 hours. We have to shout up NEPA when the light comes up and all sort of things like that.
Right.
So that is just that for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate the sunny side. Welcome to the show. I have a message here. She says, I was a head teacher when I was in Nigeria, wanting to continue my career pursuit when I got to the U.S., but changed my career when I got here, the U.S. So I guess you're already in the U.S. Okay, good. Thank you. She says, anytime my children come home complaining to me about different attitude of their classmates towards their teachers in school, so I thought to myself that if they could portray such attitudes towards their kind, I guess you mean black people? How much more a black woman? Oh, no, no, no. You mean the white kids to their teacher? Let's read that again. So I thought to myself that if they could portray such attitude towards their kind, that's white on white attitude, how much more a black woman like myself? I'm a very patient person, but I know with what I saw and hear, I wouldn't be able to handle it. So I had to rethink to change my career so I do not end up in jail. Thank you for your message. A message from a Nigerian in the U.S. Nigeria Info. Make it back. 99.3 Nigeria Info. So I have another message here. Joyce, I didn't think about this part. Well, good morning. Now you've woken up. Welcome. The sunny side. Good afternoon to you. The volume of your radio set.
Yeah, I've turned it off. Good
Thank
afternoon,
you. Good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, I think it's great to having these conversations now because, you know, we never knew how much these guys got into our head with the movies, with the music, with the curriculum that they brought to us, you know, the educational curriculum. And now, you know, so you find well-to-do people wanting to relocate. It's because of that, you know, indoctrination. And now they are now gradually doing the same to our kids with the LGBTQ stuff. You know, somebody talked about cartoon. You know, there was a day I was just, I think I was walking by the parlor and then I saw my kids watching a cartoon and it was so inappropriate. You know, ever since then, I just said, we're not subscribing anymore.
Pardon me. What did you see as a father that you deem inappropriate?
No, cartoon character kissing.
Oh, okay.
You know, for a five-year-old, and I'm like, you know,
oh.
So I just said to them, I said, we aren't doing, you know, you don't have the time, you don't spend time with them watching, you know, that kind of stuff. So, but, you know, for the split seconds, I'm just saying all of that, and I said, no, we aren't doing this anymore. Oh. And then, I think there was a Mickey Mouse cartoon as well, where they kept some of all this sex, you know, sexual stuff.
Oh.
And I'm like, Mickey Mouse. You know,
oh.
I grew up with Mickey Mouse. And now, you know, so I said, no, we're not doing that.
Oh.
You know, so I think it's a deliberate attempt to get into the head of children to make them see that these things are just normal. You know, and which is the reason why over there they don't want you to spank or smack your children. They don't want you to correct them because they are trying to, you know, indoctrinate them, drive a particular narrative and all that. And what I must say something that, you see, when people say, oh, you're not allowed to beat your kids, and, you know, somebody mentioned the Chinese and Indians revolting and kicking against this thing. The reality is that the elites there beat their children. It is really, I don't want to use the word low life, it is really those who are forming woke, that say, oh, no, don't spank, don't beat, like, you know, naughty corner and all that. No, the elite, the affluent beat their children.
Only a few of them.
Are well-behaved.
No, only a few of them, and maybe their fathers have had a serious life. If the father had a serious life, then the children are lucky. It's if the father pretty much had it, you know, easy, that the children just grow up to be something for Satan.
There was a time I went to pick up my sister. You know, I went visiting. So I went to pick up my sister's son from school. And while I was just parked opposite the school, I have the video on my phone. I saw a boy, the boy would be like maybe 13 years old. The girl was like 11, 10 years old. They were kissing right in front of the school.
What country, America?
No, UK. Right in front of the school. You know, so I videoed it when I got home and I showed it to my sister. She was like, you can't do anything. The teacher can't even do anything about that.
Huh?
And I'm like, what? For what you regard as an underage child? You know, so you know, I just said, you know, so why I went actually was, you know, we're planning to relocate. So I said to my wife, okay, I'll go because she's been pushing, let's relocate and let's, you know, and all that. I said, okay, I'll go. Let's even see how, what opportunities are there and all that. So I spent about 3 months there, but I deliberately was looking out for all the bad stuff because, you know, they've sold us the good stuff, right?
Okay.
Also, I deliberately went to look for all the bad stuff. And really, trust me, we have a better life, yeah.
Oh, morally. Well, thank you very much for calling. That's a father right there. Kind of, I guess, a pinches parents differently. I have a message here. Joyce, in the UK, they indirectly ask the students to write essays about their parents just so they can get, like, a picture of how their home runs, I guess. Thank you. Joyce, I'm a Nigerian based in America. I'm planning on sending my daughter to Nigeria to do her primary and secondary education there, then come back to America to continue education because it's a bit messed up here when it comes to education for kids. This is Victory from Philadelphia. Oh, thank you very much, Victory from Philadelphia. How old are your kids and who are going to be taking care of your kids here? And when you say messed up, what do you mean? The sunny side, you know, like, you know, because these, I mean, the gist is, you think is messed up, but it's culture there. It's like, what do you mean? Send me a WhatsApp. Thank you. Nigeria Info. Hello.
Good afternoon, ma.
Afternoon to you.
Yeah, it's coming.
Yeah.
May God continue to bless you for this topic you are bringing, that to widen our brain, to know, for people that want to go outside, don't believe me, but when I come in back. So what I want to tell you is this is a technical and tactical and sociological and physical and intentional act for the UK to continue keeping Africa in a perpetual slavery. But I wish that our government is hearing. And let me repeat what I told you yesterday.
No.
All what we need, that we are going there and to eat here. But how can these people carry our money, our politicians? God, they go give them, say, they are better than us. That's why we are going for civil work, going for teaching work, going for everything we need.
Wait. No, stop. You're reacting to this. So okay, here you have the option to choose. There is consequence for your choice. I'm only asking Nigerians to consider both sides of the giving and make an informed decision. So you can assume that the UK is forcing Nigerians. They have given you a choice. You probably like the choice and you take it. Here, the conversation is trying to find out whether people have thought about it.
Thank you very, very much. If you like, maybe they give me 1 trillion. So make I come there, come face the waiting that Zimbabwe is afraid, which I see for him. And when I come in there, and I'm
Thank you very much for calling. I do appreciate it. I have a message here. Joyce, this topic is something that is being brought up to the kids through the education system. Cartoons and movies to the kids. Try to watch Digital Disconnect. It's on YouTube. Produced by 3ABN. Three figure ABN. There, he talks about the education system and how the indoctrination of kids into the present social norms. Daniel from Satellite. What's it called again? Digital Disconnect. YouTube, produced by 3ABN. And they kind of highlight the indoctrination of kids. It's actual indoctrination. It's not education. It's something else. But I don't know whether you think it's something else. For you, it might just be good old privilege. So let's talk about whether you've thought about both sides of the spectrum. Good afternoon, Joyce. Thank you for this topic. In my own case, immediately we got to the UK, I told my children everything they hear, how they take blacks, how they take children away from their parents, where they put the children is not a place like home. Just like the last caller said, I still beat them and punish them. They actually ask if you want your child to be involved in the class of the RGBQ, blah, blah, blah. What's RGBQ? Nah, you all have to break this. What's RGBQ? Is it the LGBTQ, ESZ? That one? Or they ask the parent, did they ask you that question? Oh, okay, that's fair. So you are in the UK already and you told your children pretty much how the system works, okay. And then you say they actually ask if you want your child to be involved in the class of the RGBQ, blah, blah, blah. The only problem, just a second, Frank. The only problem we Nigerians have is we forget ourselves when we get abroad and want our children to belong and be like the white. That is where we miss it all. The Bible says, train your child in the way you should go. Train a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Every American I've met overseas. I don't know whether it was just time and chance. Or it's just the ones that, yeah, I don't know. I just meet a whole lot of nothing people. It's like, so why do you do this? What? You haven't thought about it. It's like, the Sony side. Who's this? So please, one after the other. I'm having Ola calling. I'm having OC calling. Please, one after the other. I'm going to speak to Ola right now and then can someone else wait? So I guess we're having callers from overseas. Welcome to Nigeria Info. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Joyce. Good morning.
Who am I speaking with, please? Frank? Is this Frank?
OC.
Okay, this is OC. This is so confusing. Okay, hold on a second. Okay, OC, go ahead. Anybody, I'm speaking, I'm on a Skype right now. I'm speaking to OC. Can the other callers please wait? Okay, go ahead, OC.
Okay, yeah. So I just want to quickly say that, it's not advisable to raise your kids, your children, at least from their childhood till maybe past their teenage age.
It's not advisable to raise them. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, because you have little or no control over your kids and like what they learn and what they choose to. So, for instance, a friend of mine, and I think by default, also in the U.S., when you give birth here, you're first told that the child is not yours; it belongs to the state. So, whatever they decide to do, you can only advise, but you can't force them. So if they decide to identify as whatever they want to, please respect it and encourage them to do it. Even if
where are you calling from? Pardon me, where are you calling from?
I'm in Canada.
Now, is it obtainable in Canada? Is Canada more flexible? Is the state in charge of the child in Canada? Or the state says you have a right over the child, but you don't?
Well, they make you... So first of all, you're told the child belongs to the state. They make you feel like you have a right over the child, but then when you try to maybe instill, like, so for instance, if you're Christian and then you try to make your child, you know, grow up in like Christianity and stuff like that, and then your child at 6 or 7 says, hey, I just want to belong to a certain club. It's actually an official club here in North America called Certain School Club. So it's an after school club for like kids from elementary to high school and stuff
in
like
Canada
that. If they say they want,
hold on, in Canada,
both in the US as well too.
Certain School Club.
Yeah, you can probably Google it. School club.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then like this is no longer hidden. So if they say, hey, I just like the club, and you try telling them, hey, well, according to our religion, this doesn't work and stuff like that. The moment just pray. The moment they say this to their teacher, you might just get one STP of a child, because like you're not letting him or her express himself.
You get a part of me. You get a warning for not letting your child express themselves.
Yes.
Heaven.
So it's like as in it's so hard. Even me, like I don't have children now. I'm actually considering what the guy from Philadelphia said. Like I might have to like ship SHIP, ship my children back to Africa and then let them grow up and understand like how things work on both sides. Yeah. And so they can make a better informed decision or something. Because like, man.
All
right. It looks beautiful on the outside, but there's a lot of work going on underground.
Thank you very much for calling. I do appreciate. Yeah. OC from Canada. All right. So you guys didn't think about this thing. Oh. Look, I've never heard, good heavens. So there's a Satan. So, well, it depends. You might say, well, you're a liberal and you're really open to ideas and cultures and new stuff. And you might not have a problem with Satan's school club. I would. Oh, good God. Hello, Nigeria Info. You're on the sunny side.
Hello?
Yeah. Turn up the volume of your radio set.
Yeah.
The sunny side, 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm about to go off on a break in about a few minutes from now. So I'm going to love to read this one. Based on this serious topic you're talking about, both Nigeria and overseas are culture drunk. Everyone believes that their culture is the best and no one is willing to accommodate the other. You're not serious, are you? Are you saying that hedonism is a culture that you would accept? The pursuit of pleasure as the ultimate goal, is that a culture you are down for? Filled with rights but no responsibility. Are you sure you sent me that message? I guess you did. But maybe we need to think through the message, because no. Oh, come on. You know that's a no, right? We're off on a break. We'll be right back. My name's Joyce. It's Open Thought Tuesday on Nigeria Info. Okay, I doubt I have a commercial break. It means that I have just 3 more minutes with this one. I have never lost after any of those Western countries. And with what I'm hearing now, I have totally lost interest in relocating there. Thanks, Joyce, for the good job. Gabriel from Apapa, thank you very much. Well, just think about it. I'm not trying to stop you from moving. Let's see who's here. We all can't control and have our kids to only our influence for a long time. The idea of culture imperialism for our children is bringing them up to our values. What do you mean at US born? Is that an error? I guess it's an error. I won't allow them leave until they're 21 at least. Hence, I choose to settle them here in Accra. And when they're done with the university, they can chat to their own cause. Okay, so I think that's really the heart of your own message, is you want your kids to be adults first before you move them into the Western culture. But if you have any, why aren't you moving your kids now? It means that there's something about the culture that you don't approve of, right? So you think having been in Ghana is better first for them developmentally before you take them overseas. Then don't sound as though that there's something about the culture that's absolutely beyond reproach, only to end your message with, oh, my kids are going to be 21 in Ghana first before I send them overseas. But you just said that you think that the culture is, well, I think that's what I thought I got out of it. Joyce, my ex-girlfriend. Joyce, you must make me remember my ex-girlfriend. Oh, this sounds like a confessions type gist. She asked me one day what my plan on relocating out of Nigeria was. For now, no plans. Okay, hold on. I'm sorry. I just want to get to... someone says, Joyce, you're not on YouTube Live. I want to listen to this program, please. I'm not sure what to say because I have to contact the engineers to figure out. I'm sure there's a link somewhere for you. This is a very lengthy one. And, okay. Look, I have really enjoyed the conversation with you, but it's clear to see that quite a number of you are yet to think about it or haven't thought about it. So let's begin. I'm going to ask you to read about it. And maybe if you've been out there, it's good for you to not deliberately ignore what might be the things that look you in the eye and think about these things. I'm not making your decisions for you, but you must think about it. You're in a world where you can't say anything that's outside mainstream narrative because there is a law legislating what should be said. The sun sets here. My work's done. I'll see you tomorrow on Nigeria Info. My name's Joyce.